DXAS.
Welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for May 1997. I'm Fred Vobey. An interesting thing happened at the television station on April 21st at 2:54 p.m. That was when our SAGE EAS unit went off with an emergency action notification for Washington, D.C. At first, our operator on duty thought that there was an emergency in Washington. However, it was shortly learned that it was actually a test between FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and WLS in Chicago. Here's the text of a story in the Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper written by Cleveland Plain Dealer radio critic Roger Brown, entitled Alert System Test Errors Make Radio Waves. Cleveland radio officials were baffled after a botched test of the government-operated emergency alert system disrupted programming on all local stations. The problem took place around 3 p.m. Monday and caused audio on Cleveland radio stations to be taken away from local control for up to 4 minutes. The alert affected at least one local television station as well, WEWS Channel 5 in Cleveland. An alert signal, which indicates a major emergency is underway, was mistakenly sent to radio stations by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The agency was conducting a routine system test for a Chicago station, WLS AM, when the mistake occurred. Anyone listening to Cleveland radio during the takeover phase heard only voices, apparently those of FEMA technicians, repeatedly asking, "Can you hear me?" For Channel 5 and other television stations, the miscue sent a message crawling against a stark red background that declared that an unspecified emergency was taking place. The automatic takeover element allows the government to have free access to all airwaves so it can provide information to citizens. But it is supposed to be used during only the most extreme emergencies. This was a monumental error, said Robert Conrad, president of WCLV FM 95.5. Mark Krieger, chief engineer for WGAR FM 99.5, expressed concern about the flawed test. He said, "It's really troubling to see the emergency system fail like this." Added Gary Robinson, the general manager for Channel 5, "This system hasn't worked right for us since day one." Barbara Yeagerman, a spokeswoman for FEMA, which oversees the alert system in Washington, D.C., said yesterday that the mix-up affected stations in and around Cleveland, Orlando, Florida, and New Orleans, Louisiana. Yeagerman said that she did not know how many stations were affected or why the problems were limited to only three cities. "All indications are this was an inadvertent human error," she said. "But we're still checking." The emergency alert system is designed to warn listeners and television viewers of an approaching threat, ranging from severe weather conditions to attack by hostile forces. The signal is sent to the Emergency System Center in Mount Weather, Virginia, to 34 high-powered radio stations nationwide. Among those stations is WTAM AM 1100 in Cleveland, Ohio. Those high-powered stations then transmit the alert signal to other radio and television outlets in their immediate region. WTAM transmits the emergency signal to some 100 radio and television stations across Northeast Ohio. Officials at numerous local radio stations said they receive calls about disrupted programming from confused and annoyed listeners. "We didn't get any calls from people who thought that the world was about to end," said Jim Glass, general manager at WKNR AM 1220. "But this should have never happened. I could understand why listeners were going, 'What the heck is going on?'" Monday's problems were the second recent failure of the emergency alert system on a local level. Last month, some area stations had their programming briefly interrupted, and that of WTAM piped in when staffers at the latter station pushed the wrong button while testing the alert system. According to this article, the emergency alert system has been in effect since 1994 when it replaced the longtime emergency broadcast system. Federal officials contend the new system is better because it can provide listeners and viewers with information more quickly. So one has to wonder if the system really works. Well, the system works good for this guy because he's got an air check to provide to you. Here's our buddy, Phil Wayne.
Here is number one on WJJT.
Okay, hey, wait a minute, Fred. Hey, not one of these Ken Chatterton jingles. Give me a good jingle.
WJJT, Chicago.
Hi, DXers and friends of radio, PW, that stands for Phil Wayne, I'll have you know, here with MarketScope. Last month, you may recall, Fred appealed for tapes to be submitted, and lo and behold, we got one. Mark Marino of Calumet City, Illinois, sent us this update of all the changes at the 1160 spot on the Chicago radio dial. Mark?
And when you can't find a friend, you still got the radio.
I'm Mark Marino with a report on two stations in Chicago that recently changed ownership, formats, and frequencies. WJJD and WSCR switched dial positions on Monday, April 7th at 2:30 p.m. WJJD was the premier rock and roll station here in the 50s, but they became even more famous playing country music from 1965 until the early 80s, after which they adopted a nostalgia format. Recently, they fell on hard times. They tried and failed miserably at talk, so they made the switch back to nostalgia last July. WJJD was acquired by CBS in the Infinity merger. CBS had planned to sell the Score 820 and move their sports format to 1160 so it could become 24 hours. 820 was originally famous as WAIT, the world's most beautiful music in the 60s and 70s, but for the past 5 years, they've been Chicago's top-rated sports station. So, in November of 1996, WJJD sounded like this.
That's Tony. Tony Bennett on AM 1160 WJJD. Can you find it in your heart? It is 8:21, 21 minutes after 8 o'clock on a cold Wednesday morning in Chicago with WJJD and the greatest music ever recorded. Best music in the whole wide world and elsewhere. Maybe even the universe. Probably. Mostly cloudy today, continued cold, snow flurries possible, high 30, partial clearing late tonight with a low 15, 22 lakeside. I'm telling you, these temperatures kill me. Mostly cloudy near the lake tomorrow with a chance of light snow, partly sunny elsewhere with a high of 32. It's supposed to be a lot warmer at this time of year, at least by 6, 7, 8, maybe even 10 degrees. But hey, what are you going to do? This is Chicago. It's 24 at O'Hare, 26 Midway, 28 downtown. I know that sounds cold, but it actually feels like it's about 18 degrees above zero due to the wind chill factor. Isn't that nice?
So every year about this time, a phenomenon happens.
Listen this Sunday from 1 to 3 for Your Money, sponsored in part by Key Pro Financial Services on AM 1160 WJJD.
To think of a name.
AM 1160,
WHJD,
Chicago.
It was two fireballs emerging from the clouds, and with it the spirits of 349 people.
I can't think of a station in recent memory, not in this market, that has had so many format changes in such a short span of time. That's the way they sounded in November of 96. But in February of this year, WJJD sounded like this.
Hi, oldies on a 4.3. Hi, Greg. Hello. I'm wondering if you have Angel of the Morning, Merrily Rush.
And who's calling, sir?
This is Dan from Lansing.
I'm digging into the brown bag. Great.
Oldies 104.3.
104.3 WJMK and Beatle music from the Brown Bag Lunch. Greg Brown here with your requests and dedications all this hour. 591-WJMK is the phone number to get your information into me here. We'll do our best to play them here this hour. And we've got one coming up next. It's for Frank in Orland Park. It's some Roy Orbison music coming up here. On the way tomorrow morning, John Landecker wakes you up with a smile, with the fun, with all the frivolity of a John Landecker morning show. 5:30 to 10 a.m. And, of course, tomorrow between 7 and 8, he'll tell you what tomorrow's 925 Universal Oldie is, which will help you win that trip to Universal Studios. And, by the way, we have not yet played that song of the day today. So it still could come up in the 2 o'clock or the 5 o'clock hour here at Oldies 104.3 WJMK.
The Oldies lasted until March 17th on WJJD, and on that day, I turned on the radio and I got another surprise.
WJJD, 1160
6
a.m.
minutes in front of the top of the hour on this Monday morning, the 17th, with Joe Knuckles as we move into our business skills segment for this half hour. And I can get some information about leadership and coaching from Coach Don Shula to one-minute manager Ken Blanchard.
We're down at the Buffalo game in Miami, and Buffalo blew them out. The second half, so we're up in the box, and there was a group of people there, and one of the fellows started to say, "Don't worry about it, Dom, we'll get him next time."
WJJD had picked up Douglas Broadcasting's syndicated personal achievement format.
The secret is no secret at all. It's Personal Achievement Radio, with the information you can use to change your life.
Hi, this is Brian Tracy, and you're listening to Personal Achievement Radio.
WJJD, 1160 AM Chicago. You've been listening to another 60 minutes of Personal Achievement Radio. The 10 o'clock update is next.
There's one magazine that's as committed as...
Brand new information from Brian Tracy with a program called The Luck Factor is coming up in the next 21 minutes. Also some information from Bert Decker on high impact communications and more on this Monday morning, the 17th of March.
Passenger side airbags, are they worth the money? Good morning, I'm Richard Davies.
And so the stage was set. Formats and call letters would now switch places on the dial, with the exception that WJJD would no longer exist. 820 would now become WYPA, and 1160 would become WSCR. First, here's how it sounded on 820. And you can tell the guys were more than a little excited about it.
And that's just the way it goes.
But, yeah,
well, we're down to 1 minute, guys. And you know what, in all honesty, regardless of what people have written, certainly Seth Mason and Dan Lee get a lot of the credit for starting
yes,
this thing. I never talked to writers, so I wouldn't know, but I got a good PR guy out there somewhere.
There's no doubt about it.
Of course, Gleason.
No, if it were Gleason, he would have been the general manager.
Well, it's called the Full Employment Act. As long as you keep the story straight, you'll be in great shape, and I think that Ron was trying to do that.
Well, no, Ron denied everything when he got to Hickory Pit.
I deny everything.
Forget about it.
I tell you what, 5 years and, 4 months? 3 months.
3 months.
Greatest 5 years and 4 months of my life.
Absolutely,
I know about everybody else, but it's been great.
We did shake this town up a little, didn't we?
Yeah.
A little.
It was fun. And now with 1160 and 50,000 watched in the day, as you say, we can look back on 820 and say...
I'm all choked up here.
And we can say... 820, Sports Radio 820.
See ya!
Hi, this is Tony Jacobs, the general manager of WYPA. I want to welcome aboard those listeners that just made the move with us from 1160 to our new home on 820 AM, and those of you that maybe stayed and didn't switch in the other direction. We will be continue to try and provide you with helpful and useful information on a day-to-day basis that will help you to continue to be the success that you already are. If you have any questions or comments about our format so far, please drop us a line at 1-312-255-WYPA or 9972. Let us know what you think. In fact, maybe we'll even read your suggestion on the air. Again, thanks for making the move over. Hope to hear from you soon.
The transition went fairly smooth until a few seconds later we heard
the all-new 1160 AM.
32 minutes.
And this is what happened Monday, April 7th at 2:30 if you were listening to 1160 AM.
That's 800-341-2222.
So, General Manager at WYPA, as you may have heard on the radio or read in Rob Peter's column, who's a TV and radio columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, we'll be making a move to 8:20 a.m. just in about 2 or 3 minutes. So you want to set your radio dial and join us over on our new home at 820 WYPA.
Bellwood here. Well, you guys have finally done it. It's about time. 5 years at 820, you've made the move to 24 hours down the dial to 1160. Good luck, Godspeed, and I'll always be listening.
Congratulations on your 24 hours.
What's up, fellas? This is Raphael from Berwyn wishing you a big congratulations on the move to 1160 and the 24-hour license. It's about time. Good gravy.
24 hours will be a little more enjoyable.
We're happy for you.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Score Sports Radio 1160. Afternoon in Chicago, and it's appropriate that you hear from our listeners first, because after everybody throws out all the kudos, you, the listeners, have made this radio station what it's been over the last 5 years. Let's unveil the new logo, shall we? Terry, help me out with this. Come on, big TV opportunity for you. Mark Pinsky's here today. There it is. Yeah. Red and black.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Harvey Wells here with the champagne.
Hey, he paid money, too.
Yeah, they actually spent some real money on real champagne today. We're stunned. And, you know, Ron Gleason's got that look of relief on his face right now.
Uh-huh.
Because Gleason was walking around the first 20 minutes he was here like he was working for the Secret Service. I swear to God.
Hey, you know what's
crazy? He had pieces in both ears. He didn't pass through the metal detector. They made it. All right, Ron, let's do it.
Go ahead, Ron. Just open it.
You know what's great, Terry?
Did he have his, tricks going on?
He's got poppin'.
Hey, Terry.
Yes,
Danny,
sir.
Danny, they got the Dominator, and they just told us $50 is coming out of each one of our checks.
Exactly right.
Well, just
I'm
like
sure
when we go on the road.
Hey, does Gleason have one of his trench coat?
No, he just got his new Score 1160 Sports Radio sweatshirt.
And nothing on else.
Looks good
nothing
on
else
him.
On. Nothing else
oh,
on.
It's, oh, it
that's
does
all.
Have legs. Yes, appropriately, I get the first drink on 1160. That makes sense.
The pursuit of alcohol
has so, just ended.
Danny, is it the same when you don't have to hunt for it? I mean, when you really want it there
it
for
any
you.
Way I can get it, Mike. You know how I am.
easy.
I prefer the hunt, but, you know, if Ron's going to pour for us, then, you know, we'll drink.
Well, Harvey ran out of here with our bottle.
Yeah, he opens
it's
up
like
the bottle and he leaves. We
Ron
don't even have any
champagne.
Idea. Can you believe this? The guy doesn't even probably know how to open it. He's used to the kind. He's used to the wine,
cap, the screw cap.
Wine in a box. That's what he's used they're to. Not
well, the party continued for some time, and it's reported that the Score 1160 is going to make some changes, at least in their nighttime pattern, to try to make the signal better serve the Chicago area. I'm Mark Marino reporting for the DX Audio Service.
Well, thanks, Mark. It was good to hear from you again. And who knows? Maybe the JJD calls will turn up in another market, someplace where John Barker can set up his air-checking cassette machine.
WJJD. Philadelphia.
Hey, John, what do you think of that, huh?
Thanks, Phil. And now, Historical Moments in Radio, a collection of stories about the development of broadcasting on the AM radio dial. And today I have found a neat collection of historical events and the dates they occurred. And some of them, I believe, will surprise you even as they did me. For instance, When I mention the Red Network, don't you think of NBC, and then doesn't the Blue Network come to mind immediately? Well, okay, you're right up to a point. Indeed, when NBC was formed by RCA in 1926, RCA bought the AT&T network lines, and they bought the New York City AT&T station called WEAF. Now, AT&T had set up a network of stations already back in June of 1923, 3 years earlier, when they first demonstrated the use of long-distance telephone wires to interconnect their flagship station in New York, WEAF, with three other stations, WGY in Schenectady, KDKA in Pittsburgh, and KYW in Chicago. That test was very successful. Quality was good, and AT&T was able to promote its idea of selling time on the network in the same way they sold long-distance telephone service. But it didn't take long to learn that sponsors of programs would pay goodly sums to advertise their products based more on audience count than on miles of telephone lines used. And on October 14, 1924, AT&T inaugurated regular program service from WEAF on the Red Network, providing service to WJAR in Providence, WEEI in Boston, WGR Buffalo, WCAP in Washington, and WCAE in Pittsburgh. So when NBC was formed in September of 1926 by RCA, actually it just picked up the Red Network that AT&T had established several years earlier. The second chain was headed by WJZ, that's the Blue Network, and its inaugural broadcast of the Blue Network was on January 1, 1927. It was the next year that CBS was formed, that was on September 18, 1927. CBS, by the way, got started with 16 stations right off the bat. And then on September 30th, 1934, the Mutual Broadcasting System, the last of the big three, got started, and it became, ultimately, the largest of the four major networks. Mutual's first four stations were WOR, WGN, WLW, and WXYZ. Now, later on, WXYZ became a stalwart of the Blue Network, and, of course, WLW hopped between Mutual and NBC for a time. But WOR and WGN really never left Mutual until becoming independent once again well after World War II. And here's another interesting tidbit. Do you recall hearing that WEAF broadcast the first commercial? That was in August of 1923 when a real estate organization bought time to tell about their new housing project in New York. Well, something got lost in the mix because on January 1st, 1922, now that's a year and a half earlier than that WEAF commercial, the Jersey Journal newspaper bought an hour of time on Newark's WAAT to wish everybody a Happy New Year, and, of course, to remind them how to keep up with the news of the world and around town in their newspaper, and they paid $50 for that hour of time on WAAT. In fact, starting in May of 1922, WAAT had regular sponsored programs on the air at least twice a week, a music and news program sponsored by another periodical called the Jersey Review. Now, some of you may recall that the AT&T station in New York City was called WBAY at one time, and that's true. But the WBAY transmitter was too far out of town to suit the New York audience, so AT&T built an entirely new station that would be called WEAF, and they put that WEAF antenna tower on top of the Western Electric Building right there in downtown Manhattan. And on August 16, 1922, amid great ceremony, WBAY faded away, and a new, more powerful WEAF signed on with ultra-high-quality audio and a regular program schedule. And here's a capper for you. In March 1929, for two consecutive nights, KLCN in Blytheville, Arkansas, came on the air from midnight to 3 a.m. with a DX test using 7.5 watts. And they received reports from listeners over 1,000 miles away. Oh, would that be possible today? No, I don't know. Well, now, wait a minute. With the increasing number of stations being bought just to be put off the air, yes, it may well be possible in the not-too-distant future. Oh, dear. For Historical Moments, this is John Bowker.
Patrick Griffith forwarded the address of the apparent verification signer of the Dallas-Fort Worth station on 1640 and 1680. He is Joe Blair, B-L-A-I-R, at the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, Post Office Box, Drawer 619-428, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, Texas, 75261. You can also contact Mr. Blair by email at the address of jblair@mail.metro.net.
Musings from members by phone.
The DX Audio Service Musings from Members. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, the editors, or publishers.
If you're DXAS subscribed, you can call our comment line at 419-224-1609.
You have 45 seconds.
Hello, DX Audio Service. This is Carl Dabelstein calling from Phoenix with two pieces of information concerning our local AM dial. First, KUET on 710 in Black Canyon City is back on the air simulcasting KDKB-FM at 93.3. Also, KCCF in Cave Creek on 1100 has been heard regularly testing in advance of its scheduled April full-time schedule. That's it for now, 73s and good DX.
Greetings, Audio Service members. Marty Rimpaugh here, and the following is no April Fool's joke. It seems that KTOB 1490 in Petaluma, California is silent. They apparently went silent 2 days ago, and I just tried calling both their main number and their contest line, and I got no answer. Now, they were running Korean programming that was being fed from KFOX in Redondo Beach down south.
Greetings, Audio Service members. This is John Sanders. In 1997, in midnight February, 94.1 WBHR changed to Kix 94, and they have new call letters, WXIK.
Greetings, Audio Service members. Marty Rimpaugh here on the 6th of April. I just thought I'd tell you that KTOB is simulcasting with 1150 KMXN in Santa Rosa, California. Thus, both radio stations are Spanish.
Hey there, DXers. This is Joshua Williams from Brown Summit, North Carolina. I'm interested in getting tapes of air checks of stations that have Southern Gospel as their format. If anybody can help me with that, contact me at 910-621-0603. Once again, 910-621-0603. Thanks, and 73.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville. In the April AM switch, Jerry Starr mentioned that CIAO in Brampton, Ontario, wants to go to FM. Jerry mentioned their frequency as 540. I don't know if this is a misprint or a slip of Jerry's tongue, but of course they're actually on 530. Hard to believe they give up that frequency. Also, CHOW in Welland, 1470, wants 91.9 FM. Does that mean that in Canada, commercial stations can operate below 92 megahertz? Another thing that Jerry said was that 1090 was back on the air in Albertville, Alberta. Well, as you might have guessed, that's Albertville, Alabama. That station is doing something very odd. It is relaying WJIA, which is a religious station in Gunnersville, Alabama, at 88.5, a non-commercial religious station. The station in Albertville is not even doing its own ID at the top of the hour. I suspect this may be temporary just to get them on the air, but I'm not sure.
Greetings, Audio Service members. This is John Sanders. I have a question about Jerry Starr's column. When Jerry does that, when he says D1 antenna, what does that mean?
I think that John has a pretty good question there, and we should probably cover some of these designations that we use in AM switch and also in the AM radio log. So let's go right down the list here and cover these. D1 is a daytime station that is sunrise to sunset only with a non-directional antenna. There is no D2 designation. D3 is a daytime operation only, directional antenna, same pattern at all times. D4 is a daytime operation only, directional during critical hours, that is sunrise to 2 hours after sunrise, and 2 hours before sunset to sunset only. D5 is a daytime operation only, directional during non-critical hours, and non-directional during critical hours. D6 is a daytime operation only, different patterns during critical hours and non-critical hours. Here's a couple that you don't normally hear. L1, which is limited time operation, usually based upon sunrise or sunset at the dominant station's location on a clear channel. It's also non-directional. L3 is a limited time operation with a directional antenna. There is no L2. Here's one that I don't think I've heard on AM switch in a long time. N1 is a nighttime operation, sunset to sunrise operation only, with a non-directional antenna. Also, N2, which is a nighttime operation, sunset to sunrise operation only, with a directional antenna. SH is specified hours, as directed under the station's license. Numbers showing patterns correspond to the numbers under the U category. Specified hour stations are those who would normally be unlimited, but because of financial or other considerations, have petitioned for a waiver of the minimum schedule of 0600 to 2200 local time. ST is a shared time operation. Broadcasting time is shared with a second station on the same channel. U1 is a unlimited time operation with a non-directional antenna. U2 is a unlimited time operation, directional at night, sunset to sunrise only, non-directional day. U3 is unlimited time operation, directional during all hours with the same pattern day and night. U4 is unlimited time operation, directional with a different pattern during the day and a different pattern at night. U5 is a unlimited time operation, directional day and non-directional at night. U6 is a unlimited time operation, directional night and critical hours with the same pattern. U7 is a unlimited time operation, directional at all hours, but three different patterns, that is, day, night, and critical hours. U8 is unlimited time operation, directional critical hours and night with different patterns, and then non-directional during the day. U9 is unlimited time operation, directional non-critical hours, day hours, and night hours, different patterns, but non-directional during critical hours. And finally, U10 is a non-directional day, directional during critical hours, and non-directional during nights. So there you go. And I don't think there's too many stations which are operating N1 and N2. If maybe John or Jerry know that, they can correct me on that. And as far as the share time operation, the ST category, I guess the best example of that a few years ago, and I think Chicago still has two stations on 1240, but one of them's been off the air now. Used to be three stations in Chicago, all on 1240 sharing time. So a lot of the stuff's changing as we go along. And to answer Tim Hendel's question about commercial stations in Canada on FM, yes, Tim, you can operate commercial below 92 megahertz. There's no provision in their law for the educational broadcast service. Another thing which is kind of interesting about Canada's frequency allocations on FM is I don't think that they bear the same type of coding that we have here in the United States, such as Class A being a 3,000-watt signal on a 300-foot tower, because I've seen a lot of cases where stations have been 50,000 watts on a 500-foot tower on a Class A frequency here in the United States. So there are some changes in the FM categories when you get over to the other side of the border. And that's our musings from the members on this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
DX Time Machine.
From the pages of DX News Magazine from 50 years ago, from the April 5th, 1947 DX News, George Holland Jr. of Ithaca, New York, reported that WVBR, Voice of the Big Red, the Cornell University carrier current station on 640, was being heard all over Ithaca and had received reports from Cortland, 20 miles away, and Elmira, 35 miles away. From the April 19th, 1947 DX News, DX Nutt gave an account of the get-together at the home of Bernie Duffy of Staten Island. The wedding of Margaret Edge, daughter of National Radio Club Executive Secretary and publisher Ray Edge, to member Tom Carberry, was reported from the March 29th, 1947 DX News. 25 years ago, from the April 15th, 1947 DX News magazine, the 1972 FM Atlas was available for $2.50. R.J. Edmonds detailed some construction of a 2-foot loop in an illustrated article. From the April 1st, 1972 DX News magazine, Ray Moore assumed the duties of the National Radio Club treasurer. Robert Neal topped the domestic contest standings, followed by Ken Onischuk, Jim Renfrew, Charles Gill, Keith Buringmeyer, and Frank Wheeler. 10 years ago, from the April 13th, 1987 DX News magazine, Jerry Starr published a complete list of authorized nighttime powers of U.S. stations operating on Mexican and Canadian clear channels. From the April 1st, 1987 DX News magazine, Peter Weeks of Fredericton, New Brunswick, reported exceptionally good results using a Mark Colley phasing unit in receiving stations from France, Monaco, Luxembourg, East and West Germany, and even the USSR. And that's our DX time machine.
And hello again, everyone, fans. Ken Onischuk back here with your annual baseball lineup of radio on who's doing what where. So let's get right into it this year, 1997. American League Anaheim Angels will be on 710 KTZN. Yes, they changed last week from KMPC to an all-talk format last week. And the announcers will be Bob Starr and Mario Mpemba. Bob Starr serves in his fifth season as voice of the Angels. Starr was 27 years, last three seasons with Boston. Next, Baltimore Orioles on 1090 WBAL on the 25-station network with announcers Fred Manfred, Chuck Thompson, and Jim Hunter. Manfred's back for his fifth season. And in case many people don't know, the Orioles lost John Miller, their popular radio voice, for the past 14 years to San Francisco in a contract dispute during the offseason. And the lead TV announcer Mel Proctor left to join the San Diego team and were replaced by Jim Hunter and Michael Reggie. Boston Red Sox on 850 WEEI and flagship of a 60-station network with Joe Castiglione and Jerry Trupiano. Castiglione starting his 15th season with Boston. The White Sox in Chicago, English, AM 1000, WMVP, with John Rooney, Ed Farmer, Bill Melton, and Dave Wills. They come back and forth, not all four at one time. And the Spanish-speaking voice will be WIND with Hector Molina. Rooney's with his 10th season with the White Sox now. Cleveland Indians on 1220 WKNR, about 40 stations in Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York. Announcers will be Herb Score and Tom Hamilton. Continuing, Detroit Tigers, 760 WJR, flagship of a 30-station network with Frank Beckman and Larry Sorensen. Beckman's his third season with Detroit. He's been there with JR since 72. Continuing, third baseman broadcaster George Kell retired after doing Tiger games for 37 years. Hall of Famer Rooney Harwell at 79 will do 35 over-the-air TV telecasts and some with CBS Radio. Kansas City Royals on 580 WIBW Topeka. 80 stations in 8 states will carry Royals games. Announcers are Denny Matthews, Fred White, and John Wathan. He's been with them since 69. Continuing, Milwaukee 820, they misprint 620, WTMJ Milwaukee, covering, 43 stations in Wisconsin and Michigan, will air the games with Bob Uecker and Jim Powell. Bob, known as Mr. Baseball, entering his 18th season as Brewers lead announcer. And continuing to up to Minnesota, 830 WCCO. Flagship for about 70 stations in 4 states with Herb Carneal, John Gordon, and Ryan Lefevre. Carneal is the Dean of American League Broadcasters in his 36th season there. The New York Yankees are back, looks like, with a new deal. They ended 10 years there, but they're going back for more on 77 WABC with John Sterling and Michael Kay. Sterling is in his 9th season with the radio booth there. Oakland Athletics on 610 KFRC and a 12-station network with Bill King, Ken Korak, and Ray Fossey. King in his 17th season with Oakland. And I read elsewhere that the Spanish station is 1430 KNTA, but it's not listed here, but I'll mention it anyway, just in case. Seattle Mariners on 710 KIRO and 34 Station Network. Broadcasters Dave Niehaus, Ron Fairley, and Rick Riz. Niehaus has been with the team since they started in 77. Texas Rangers are next on 1080 KRLD in a 50-station network with Eric Nadell and Brad Sham. Nadell in his third season with the Rangers, 19th overall in baseball. And Mark Holtz was doing radio, but I guess he's moved to television. Next, Toronto Blue Jays. On 590 CJCL, the Fan, as they call it. A lot of those sports stations are calling the Fan. I know. Flagship of the 22-station Telemedia Radio Network with Tom Cheek and Jerry Howarth. Cheek has done all games since they started in 77. And no French station there. Never has been. National League. Atlanta Braves, 750 WSB and 200-station network, the largest in the majors. With Skip Carey, Pete Van Weir, and Don Sutton, and Joe Simpson. And also says here, the international network includes 44 stations and a vast amount of principalities throughout the southeast, below the border in the U.S. The farthest reaching Spanish network in Major League Baseball, no station they'll mention. Manuel Otero, Jose Medellin, and Miralles Pimentel will do the broadcast. For the Atlanta Braves on SB, Carey has been the voice since, 76. And that's it there. Next, Chicago Cubs, 720 WGN, network of 45 stations in 12 states. Announcers Pat Hughes and Ron Santo. And television, Harry Carey returning for his 53rd season of Major League Baseball there. Cincinnati Reds, 700 WLW, flagship of about 60 stations in 7 states with announcers Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxhall. Brenneman's in his 24th season with the Reds. It seems like Nuxhall's been there ever since, too. Colorado Rockies on 850 KOA, 62 station network covering the Mountain West, announced by Wayne Hagan and Jeff Kingery. In Spanish, you can hear the games on 1150 KCUV. With Francisco Gomez and Antonio Guevara. Continuing, Florida Marlins on 560 Sports Radio, WQAM, and a 14-station network with Dave O'Brien and Joe Angel. And in Spanish, they'll air all the games, the only one of three teams to do that, on 1210 WCMQ with Fela Ramirez and Manolo Alvarez. Continuing here, I have Houston Astros, 610 KILT, with a network of 50 English-speaking stations with Milo Hamilton, Jim DeShays, and Vince Contronio. Milo's been doing Major League Baseball since 1958. In Spanish, 1320 KXYZ will be carrying it for about 20 stations out there. Announcers are Francisco Ernesto Ruiz and Alex Trevino. Next, L.A. Dodgers, their last year carrying Dodger baseball after 23 years, 790 KABC, 26-station network with Vin Scully, Ross Porter, Rick Mundy, and Spanish 1330 KWKW with Jaime Jairin and Rene Cardenas. They will be moving to KISS AM and FM starting in 98. Continuing, Montreal Expos, they got English here only, 600 CIQC and a 7-station network with Dave Van Horn, Joe Cannon, and Elliot Price. This is Dave Van Horn's 29th year doing the games. And they don't say anything in French, but I know it's on 730 CKAC, as it's always been. New York Mets back on 660 WFAN, unless there's a conflict with the New York Knicks. Who knows where they're going to go, maybe 1050. 4-station network there, announced by Bob Murphy, Gary Cohen, Gary Thorne. Murphy's been with them since 62. And continuing on, Philadelphia Phillies, 1210, the WPHT or WPTS, where they got listed. That's the flagship of an 18-station network, friends, with Harry Callis, Richie Ashburn, Andy Musser, and Chris Wheeler. Callis is in his 27th season there. Continuing, Pittsburgh, as we wrap this up with four more teams. Pittsburgh Pirates 1020 KDKA in a 50-station lineup in 5 states with Lanny Fritari, Steve Blass, and Bob Walk. Lanny's in his 22nd season with the club. second only to Bob Prince. St. Louis Cardinals, 1120 KMOX, flagship by 135 stations in 11 states with Jack Buck, Joe Buck, and Mike Shannon. And San Diego, English only, I notice here, 760 KFMB with Jerry Coleman, Ted Leitner, and Bob Chandler. A Sporting News yearbook I saw, it says it's 1420 XCXX, but they don't say here, so we'll find out. Coleman's in his 25th year as voice of the Padres. And to finish up here in this lengthy tape, but one that's important, 680 KNBR doing the San Francisco Giants on 11 station network with Mike John Miller, Ted Robinson, Mike Kruko, and Dwayne Kuiper. Miller's been doing Oakland. He started there, by the way, as a Bay Area native. He's been doing the game since 74, joined the Giants after 14 years with Baltimore. I hope you enjoy him out there. Okay, that takes care of this segment of the DX Audio Service. Hope you all enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next month. And Fred, get better. Talk to you later, bud. Bye-bye.
The annual DX get-together, the Conrad Reunion, will take place May the 15th through the 17th in Waterloo, Iowa, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, located at West 4th and Commercial Streets. For reservations, give a call to 319-233-7560 and mention Conrad Reunion for a rate of $48 for 1 to 2 persons, $56 for 3 to 4 per night. For more information, just give a call to Jim Conrad at 319-232-7307. And that's all the time we have on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Be sure to set some time away around Labor Day for the National Radio Club Convention to be held in Newcastle, Delaware. We'll see you in Delaware over Labor Day weekend. 73, good DX, and get out there and support radio.